A slaughterhouse that has been accused of mistreating cows agreed Sunday to recall 143 million pounds of beef in what federal officials are calling the largest beef recall in U.S. history. The amount of beef, 143 million pounds, is roughly enough for two hamburgers for each man, woman, and child in the United States. The largest U.S. meat recall before Sunday came in 1999, when about 35 million pounds of beef, possibly contaminated with listeria, were ordered off shelves. And there is about 37 million pounds of this meat that went to school lunch programs this time of the 143 million. USDA officials say there is only a remote probability that the beef could cause illness in humans, but they're recalling it anyhow. The other thing is that another aspect to this is animal cruelty, and that is being alleged against Westland Hallmark Meatpacking Company employees who were caught on video herding animals, well, dragging and carrying animals on forklifts, pushing animals on forklifts to slaughter that were unable to walk. And joining me to talk about this issue right now is Trisha Berry. She is communications director for Farm Sanctuary. Their website is farmsanctuary.org. Hello, Trisha.
Hi, George. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thanks for joining me today. Maybe we can start off just if you could tell listeners what exactly are downed animals.
Downed animals are defined as animals who are too sick, diseased, or weak to stand. And currently there is a policy nationwide put in force in 2007 or made permanent in 2007 by the USDA that prevents these downed animals from entering the human food supply. Now, this policy actually only pertains, though, to cattle.
I see. So this doesn't apply to other animals. What other animals might face this situation where they're taken to slaughter basically by being dragged or otherwise hauled to the killing floor?
Any other livestock. So we're talking about pigs being slaughtered for pork. We're talking about sheep, lambs, goats, any other animals, large animals. Who are transported to slaughterhouses. During the transport, they could be ill or diseased prior to getting on the transport truck. They could become ill or injured during transport. And when they arrive at the slaughterhouse, it is still legal and permissible for any animals other than cattle to literally be dragged moved by forklift onto the kill floor.
So there are laws in place, both federally and in some states, to protect cows from being slaughtered if they're downed, if they're too sick or injured to walk, but not other animals. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. The first state law was in California, and that passed in 1994. So that was the first time that there was any law on the books that prevented the slaughter of downed cattle. And it also prohibits the dragging of downed animals. So what we saw at the Westland Hallmark facility was not only in violation of USDA policy and in violation of amendments to the humane methods of slaughter law in regards to transport of animals to slaughter, but also it was in violation of state law in California.
I see. My understanding is there was also a bill that Tom Lantos was part of. I think he might have been helping with that before he passed away, that was about downed animals. Can you talk about that?
Yes. Lantos was a big supporter of the Downed Animal and Food Safety Protection Act. It is Senate Bill 394 and House Bill 661. And it would actually include all animals, not only cattle, in regulating the in regulation of prohibiting the slaughter of downed animals for human food, and would also require humane euthanasia for downed animals who were found at the slaughterhouse.
This is Senate Bill 394 and House Bill 661.
Yes.
What is it called again?
It's called the Downed Animal and Food Safety Protection Act. And we are urging people to contact their legislators to get them to sign on to this bill. It's really important that there is federal legislation passed on this, because right now all that exists is this USDA mandate, and like I said, it only pertains to cattle. And the USDA mandate it was first made temporary, and it actually was enacted. It's an interesting story on this road to getting this USDA policy in place, because it actually took the announcement of the first case of mad cow disease in 2003 in Washington State, and that animal was a downed animal, a downed dairy cow. It actually took that in order for USDA to act, but we had actually filed a lawsuit with the USDA to get them to move on this issue prior to that. And it took this announcement in order for them to actually move on it, but they wouldn't make it permanent. And they only made it permanent last year after a report came out about all the inadequacies in the current BSE testing.
So this, again, the Downed Animals and Food Safety Protection Act is in the Senate and in Congress right now.
Yes.
So you're urging that people contact their senators and congresspeople to support this.
Yes.
Why? Yes, I'm curious if the USDA is stating that the meat that they have ordered a recall on only has a remote probability of making anyone sick, why they're recalling it.
Why they're recalling it?
Yeah.
Well, in this case, it's an interesting thing, too, that the USDA actually doesn't have authority to issue a recall. It has to be the facility that does it. And in this case, the USDA removed their inspectors from the plant. That's kind of the first step. So they removed their inspectors from the plant after these allegations came to light. The video which so many people have seen now, it's appearing all over the airwaves. And once that hit the media, then the USDA was really forced to react to that. And their reaction initially was to pull their inspectors. To my knowledge, this is the longest. It's been over 3 weeks now. This is the longest any U.S. slaughterhouse has ever been shut down for concerns over animal cruelty. Now, in regards to this, not only were there concerns related to animal cruelty associated with it, but in regards to the public health concern, knowing that this facility was supplying for the National School Lunch Program certainly would have triggered concerns over public health. The fact that downed animals, knowing that downed animals were entering the food supply, downed animals are far more, not only are they more likely to be harboring disease, they're more likely to pass along E. coli and other pathogens, because by their very nature, they're downed. So they're wallowing in their own feces and in other feces of animals. So these massive bodies of these downed dairy cows. In this instance, these were all dairy cows. They're all spent dairy cows, and I can get into the details of why that is such a common problem with dairies. And this, and the U.S. dairy industry is needs to take some responsibility for this as well, because of the way that they push these animals to produce the amounts of milk that they're forcing them to produce. So with these animals being downed animals in the first place, they're much more susceptible to be transferring pathogens as these animals are being, you know, slaughtered and disassembled.
So they're more likely to, there's a higher risk of the meat being contaminated with E. coli or salmonella because of the animals wallowing their own feces and their weakened immune systems. But there's also a risk that they were diseased or sick, and that could be passed
right
on.
Yes, because why are they downed in the first place? And that's one consistent thing that we've seen with all the cases of mad cow in North America. And it's an interesting thing. I was actually over in England at the time of when the mad cow outbreaks were happening in London, and I actually worked on the other side of the issue for a period of time. I was working for a PR agency that represented the National Dairy Council, and they were dealing in issues in crisis management as a result of the whole mad cow debacle. And the interesting thing about this is that the way the disease showed itself in the UK is very different than the way that it's shown itself in North America. So and so there's very little that we actually know about mad cow disease in North America. And one of the reasons why it was called mad cow disease initially was in the UK is that these animals were actually exhibiting neurological problems. They were waving their heads. They were acting in a way that made them look virtually mad. It made them look like they were out of their minds. Hence the label mad cow disease. In North America, in almost every case of mad cow disease that has been found in North America, that has been in an animal who has been downed. This is an animal who is too sick to stand, and she can't get up. But she may or may not be exhibiting neurological issues. So part of the problem is that the USDA, through all these years, has been, you know, practicing a don't look, don't find policy with mad cow disease and with other pathogens. There are other instances. Right now, the Washington Post has been covering and some of the meat trade publications have been covering these instances of neurological disorders that have been found in slaughterhouse workers at pork slaughterhouses, essentially workers who are working directly with the brains of pigs and disassembling them. They are finding that there are multiple cases across the board of these workers who are contracting neurological illnesses, and it's a mystery illness. Nobody knows what it is. And this just happened in the past month that this report has come out. So there are a variety of, you know, pathogens out there, known and unknown, and the level with which our government thoroughly looks for them and actually studies them, it's completely underfunded, and there really is no real oversight that incorporates accountability. And immediately, when anything, like whenever there's an announcement of mad cow disease or some sort of outbreak in the U.S., you immediately hear from the USDA the same statement over and over again that our beef supply or our meat supply is safe, trying to reassure everyone that it's safe. And then you immediately hear a response from the cattle industry or whichever meat industry saying that we believe our meat is safe. And we have the safest meat in the world. But this is all based on assumptions. And none of it is backed with accountability. So how do you know whether or not the food truly is safe?
So you're saying that some of these downed animals might be suffering from mad cow disease, or otherwise known as bovine spongiform encephalopathy is what it's formally called. And it's a disease that fatally, it eats away at the brain. Some of these cows you're saying might be, most of the downed animals might be suffering from that.
We don't know. I mean, I don't want to, you know, that's the thing that's so frustrating about this is that, you know, people, the media has tended to really glom onto the whole concept of public, you know, public health scares in relation to this story. And for good reason. I think that it certainly brings about these questions. We don't. The reality is, though, that we don't really know. And claiming that the food is safe without truly knowing that it is, and creating this, you know, this false assumption, it's very scary because who knows? Who knows if that and in something like mad cow disease. we've found that, you know, incubation periods can be years. So people don't know, you know, you ate something, you know, that was infected 10 years ago or 7 years ago, and then the symptoms start showing. And you can't even diagnose variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob syndrome, which is the human form of mad cow disease, until after the person has passed on and the brain is then analyzed. And it's one of those cases. It's often been mistaken for an acute form of Alzheimer's as well, because it's the same type of neurological disorder in that it essentially eats away at the brain.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with Tricia Berry. She's Communications Director for Farm Sanctuary. Their website is farmsanctuary.org. We're talking about this recent news that's come out that a Chino, California slaughterhouse that's been accused of mistreating cows agreed on Sunday to recall 143 million pounds of beef. This is the largest beef recall in U.S. history. And much of this, 37 million pounds of it, went into school lunch programs. I'm wondering if you can talk about some of the concerns around that.
Well, there was actually, it's another interesting point to this whole timeline and how, you know, these policies have developed over time, is that one of the first things that was one of the first issues that came about in relation to downed animals was the USDA, when they actually made a regulation in, or enforced a regulation in 2000. It was the Agricultural Marketing Service issued an announcement stating that contractors who sell ground beef to the National School Lunch Program and other federal food and nutrition programs must source beef only from slaughter facilities that do not allow the processing of non-ambulatory cattle. So that concern in relation to the National School Lunch Program came about before the interim ban on cattle being fed to downed cattle being entering the food supply was put into effect. So for 8 years now, excuse me, we've had some sort of government policy that is supposed to prevent downed cattle from entering the National School Lunch Program. The other thing too that's a big concern with this is that this beef is sent and it's very quickly consumed. So by the time the recall actually went into effect, much of it has already been eaten. It's going to be very difficult for them to actually find this because of the way that it's distributed. It's in essence goes straight to the plates of our nation's children within, you know, days of it exiting the slaughterhouse. So that's another concern in relation to, you know, this being distributed through the National School Lunch Program.
So most of this beef has already been eaten.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. At this point, it has already been eaten. So what is done is done. The thing too that I think is really interesting or important, not necessarily interesting, but important to stress to people is that we never would have known. The public never would have known what was happening at this Hallmark Westland facility had an undercover investigator with the Humane Society of the United States had not gone into that facility and worked there for a period of time and captured this on film. There were USDA inspectors. There was a USDA inspector there every day, twice a day, on the dot. They all knew when he was arriving to inspect the facility. And he never caught it. He never saw this happening. Yet the worker, the undercover worker, did. And we have 20-plus years. We've done similar investigations through the 20-plus years we've been in existence. And I have reams and reams of film and video of the exact same things that we've seen in this investigation. And this has been going on for years. And it's going on in slaughterhouses throughout the United States. This is not an anomaly. This is common. This is the way the industry works.
That's not what the industry is saying. I've heard a number of comments in the mainstream media by industry spokespeople saying that this is an anomaly, that this is a, you know, isolated incident, that it's unfortunate, it doesn't go on in most places.
We would challenge that. I have hundreds of hours of footage. And we've been in contact with the USDA over the course, of the past 20 years, where we have contacted them when we finish an investigation and we see this happening, we send them the footage, we send them our statements, we send them notes on everything that we've witnessed. We ask them to investigate further. We've had literally hundreds of phone calls, letters, and emails with the USDA over the years related specifically to downed animal concerns. And their reaction is about as predictable as the cruelty witnessed at Hallmark Westland. They have not reacted unless if the media puts pressure on them to do so. And that's what happened in this case.
So what happened in this case is the media, when the undercover video came out and the media actually, you know, presented this to the public, that the USDA was embarrassed and then pressured the slaughterhouse to recall the meat? Is that kind of?
Yes. Yeah, the USDA happened? When they remove their inspectors, it essentially shuts the place down. And I'm sure there was pressure because, and this is pure speculation on my part, but when you're dealing with a national school lunch program and you're dealing with, you know, possible class action lawsuits, if people really upset about this, they better darn well recall that meat.
So what's going to happen now is the Westland Hallmark Meatpacking Company in Chino, California, that's the slaughterhouse that was accused of mistreating the cattle, processing down cows, slaughtering them for human consumption. Are they currently closed then? They're still closed?
Yes. Okay. Yes, they are currently closed. And actually, this is a pretty rare occurrence. Two of the workers who were caught on tape have been charged with felony animal cruelty charges. And it's so difficult to get animal cruelty charges, even misdemeanors, filed on facilities like this. We've achieved a few animal cruelty convictions at slaughterhouses and in stockyards, but to actually achieve that, I mean, you pretty much have to catch them on video and have plenty of evidence to back it up, and in order to get these to go through, because so many there are so few state laws in place that actually protect animals raised for food. Most state anti-cruelty statutes actually exclude farm animals or animals who are used for food. So it's hard to prosecute under general state cruelty statutes unless you have some laws on the books that actually protect them. And luckily in California is one of those states that has multiple, like the Downer Law, and other laws in place that do protect, have some protection for farm animals.
In a statement issued February 3rd, Westland Meat President Steve Mindel said the company was cooperating with the USDA and called the practices depicted in the Humane Society video as, quote, a serious breach of our company's policies and training. He went on to say that they've taken swift action regarding the two employees identified on the video and have already implemented aggressive measures to ensure all employees follow their humane handling policies and procedures. What do you think of that statement?
We saw the same exact thing and videotaped much of what you witnessed back in 1995 and 1996 when we investigated the same facility. This has been going on for more than 10 years, to our knowledge.
And you don't think there's any way that the owner could be ignorant of this?
I don't see any way that the owner could be ignorant of it. Any reports that I've heard from the undercover investigator who was on the scene, he said that this was done with complete complicity. It was not done outside of the site of, it was done in plain sight in front of many other workers at the facility, and it was ongoing. So if this is done in plain sight and it's ongoing, I don't see how, you know, there would be negligence on the part of the on the part of the plant owner to not know that this was happening.
I haven't seen the video, but apparently in this undercover video, it shows workers kicking cows, jabbing them in, near their eyes, ramming them with a forklift, and shooting high-intensity water up their noses in an effort to force them to their feet for slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
If people want to see this, where would they find it? Just do a search on Google, or is there some footage?
Yeah, I mean, it's all over the place at this point. I would actually go to the source, the Humane Society of the United States. I would visit their website, and I'm sure it's on their homepage. You would be able to visit hsus.org and see that. I would also recommend that you visit nodowners.org. That's a site that we've been running that gives a lot of background on, you know, our No Downers campaign that we've been running for more than 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you can also witness more video at farmsanctuary.org as well. We have lots of video through the years of various investigations that we've done.
Now, there's a USDA mandate at the moment against using or putting immobile or downed animals, cows, into the human food supply. There's some state laws, you're saying, that ban this as well, but
mm-hmm.
no federal law at the moment.
No, there is
okay.
no federal law at the moment. That's why we're trying to get the Downed Animal and Food Safety Protection Act passed.
Okay.
Because that would be the first federal law in place that would actually prevent all downed animals, not only cattle, from entering the human food supply. And the current ruling in regards to cattle is simply a USDA policy. It is not a federal law.
And it's not enforced. It doesn't sound
clearly
like.
It's not. We can see after this, you know, investigation that it's there aren't enough inspectors on the ground, and the way that the inspection process is handled, it's very easy for these facilities, these other 900 other USDA slaughterhouses, to turn their heads.
To hide what they're doing, because they know when the inspectors are coming.
Yep.
The U.S., so in California, there is a ban on downed cows going into the human food supply. But what about into pet food? These animals can still be slaughtered mm-hmm. to feed to pets, correct?
Yes. There is no law in the books that prevents these animals from going into pet food.
So basically the animal would be slaughtered either way, just under state law in California and USDA mandate nationwide, just can't be fed to humans.
Well, the one thing, though, is once an animal is, to my knowledge, once an animal is humanely euthanized, which is what the Downed Animal and Food Safety Protection Act would require, that the downed animal be humanely euthanized. Once that animal has passed away, I do not believe that they can go into any food supply, except they can be sent for rendering.
I see. So currently, though, in California, under our state law, they can't go into the human food supply, but could be pet food.
Yes.
And currently under the federal USDA mandate, it's the same thing.
Yes.
So there's no laws protecting downed animals from slaughter. It's just about whether or not the animal's meat goes into the food supply.
Right.
Okay,
right.
The human foods. Now, this legislation, the Downed Animals and Food Safety Protection Act, Senate Bill 394 and House Bill 661, you're asking people to support this through their congresspeople and senators. You're saying that if that passed, though, there would be humane that it would be required that the animals not be herded to slaughter if they couldn't walk by forklifts and other means, but that
right.
they would be euthanized.
They would be euthanized. It would
and
require
meat would go
humane
to rendering.
Euthanasia. Yeah.
Okay.
And the one of the things about this is essentially what it does is it removes a market for downed animals. As long as downed animals can be marketed and sold in some way, then there is no incentive for farmers and producers to treat their animals better. And this gets to, you know, the crux of why we push so hard for this. Because our focus, you know, is on animal welfare and animal protection issues. And we believe that these animals would be treated in a better way to ensure that they're not that they don't become downed in the first place. It would require better care of these animals.
I see. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Tricia Berry, again, Communications Director for Farm Sanctuary. Really appreciate you coming on and filling us in on all this. And I'll put out the websites again and mention the legislation again. But thank you.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Take care. So again, the websites to check out are farmsanctuary.org, nodowners.org, and also the Humane Society of the United States, their website. The name of that legislation, again, is Downed Animal and Food Safety Protection Act. It is House Bill 661, Senate Bill 394, and Farm Sanctuary and the Humane Society are asking folks to support that legislation and to ask your senator and congressperson to support it as well. Again, the Downed Animal and Food Safety Protection Act. As Tricia mentioned, at farmsanctuary.org, you can read all about Farm Sanctuary. You can also see videos and other information about the way farm animals are treated in the U.S. Also, nodowners.org gives a detailed history on Farm Sanctuary's efforts around downed animals and a wealth of information about that issue in particular. And the Humane Society of the U.S. Is another website you can go to, especially if you want to see the undercover video that resulted in, again, this largest beef recall in U.S. history, 143 million pounds of beef.